Well, good morning. Please open your Bibles to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, we're going to be going through verses 1 through 21. Now, Jesus was healing the blind man. And during the time of this Feast of Booths and during the Feast of Tabernacles. However, in this chapter, chapter 10, even though it seems only like seconds later when you're reading, it actually was 3 months later during the festival, during Hanukkah. And we'll see that from verses 22 where it says, the festival of dedication, which took place in Jerusalem at winter. And dedication literally in the Hebrew is Hanukkah. So it's Hanukkah. And we'll spend more time on why this is significant in the text. But before we do that, I want to give a simple layout of the text before we read and ask God for help. And so you'll see that there's three progressions in this passage. The first progression is Jesus is explaining who he is, that he is the shepherd and that he is the gate, the door of the sheep. And we'll see that in the first 10 verses. But the second progression is Jesus' relationship with the sheep. And we see that in verses 11 through 18. And then the last progression is John giving a case study of Jesus' teaching, which is in verses 19 through 21. And so let us read God's word and be comforted by it. Starting with verse 1 of John chapter 10. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. And when he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This is a figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they didn't understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come or came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep, and he is a hired hand and not a shepherd who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own. And my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep, and I have other sheep that are not of this fold, and I must bring them also. And they will listen to my voice. And so there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have the authority to lay it down, and I have the authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. There was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, he has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him? And others have said, these are not the words of one who's oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Oh, Heavenly Father, we ask, oh Lord, we ask that you would come out of the pages of Scripture, that you would enter our hearts like a big forest fire, that you would enter our hearts and that you would
purify our souls, that you would make us clean. Work in us, Lord. Work a mighty miracle through the preaching of the word. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
So our first progression, Jesus explains who he is, that he is the shepherd and he is the door. And a good question that we need to ask is, why is Jesus talking about being a shepherd and a door during Hanukkah season? Well, just like Jesus in each of his festivals, he ties his identity, he ties his character with the festivals that the Jews are celebrating. And just like the Feast of Booths or Tabernacles during the water pairing ceremony, he actually says, I'm the living water. And in the same way, when they are doing the light ceremony, he says, I am the light of the world. And so he's contextualizing with his people. And we see this once again to his audience, to the Jews, during Hanukkah season, and he's saying, I am the true shepherd. Now again, why is this important? Well, Hanukkah, here, you get a boring history lesson, so pay attention. During Hanukkah, during 160 BC, so a little bit of 160 years before Jesus was born, there was a civil war, type civil war in Israel. And under that time, Israel was under Greek occupation. There was this guy named Alexander the Great. You're welcome. So he was there, and he created this occupation under the Israelites. And at that time, the Israelite leaders were bad leaders. They were really bad leaders. They were bad shepherds. Actually, in the Old Testament, they will talk about how a king is a shepherd. There's that type of nuance. Well, these kings and these leaders were bad shepherds, and they started doing Greek pagan worship, even to the extent where Greek soldiers came inside the temple and desecrated the temple with pig's blood. They outlawed circumcision. They burned holy scriptures, and they erected idols in the temple. That's what happened during that time, 160 years before Jesus. And 5 years later, there's this man named Judas Maccabeus that inaugurated the Maccabean Wars. And he fought against the Greeks, but also the Israelites that were at that time in favor of Greek rule. And once they recaptured the temple, they dedicated. Hanukkah literally is translated dedication. And so this is a big, important thing at that time when Jesus was celebrating, because they are remembering that 160 years ago, these people, Israel, was led astray. They were worshiping pagan Greek gods. There was pig's blood slain all over the altar. And now they're reminding themselves that they need to have good shepherds leading over them. They need to have good kings leading over their people. And so they would read passages like our Old Testament reading today, like Ezekiel 34, in their liturgy, in their worship, as a reminder of resting in God alone and having good leaders. And so this was what was going on in this text, in this moment, in the context where Jesus is. And it's kind of fitting in this passage, because it's like the second Maccabean Wars, that Jesus is like Judas Maccabeus standing up and he's saying, I'm the good shepherd, yet you, Pharisees, you are the false shepherds. You are the bad leaders during this festival. And so the question is, how do we know that Jesus is a good shepherd? Well, we see it in his teaching that he's a good shepherd because the gatekeeper opens the gate and allows him to come into the sheepfold. Now, in that time, they would create like this fence, and legitimately, there was no door in front of the fence. The shepherd was the door. He would legitimately be sleeping in the doorway so nothing could jump over him, like the sheep trying to get out, or if anything tried to get into the sheepfold, they'd have to go through the shepherd or the gatekeeper. And so he's saying that I'm a good shepherd because when the gatekeeper sees me, he doesn't see me as a threat, but he sees me as a shepherd that tends to the sheep. And so that is one way. But however, the thieves and the robbers, they don't go through the gate area. They climb over the fence. For instance, just give you an illustration. What that means is if you see me driving up to my house and I get out my key and open the door, you're like, oh, he's walking into his house. But if you see me in an alleyway looking shifty, looking back and forth, and then I go break a window and climb through the window, you're probably not thinking, well, I hope he has good homeowner's insurance because that's a weird way to enter his house. No, you're going to be like, that dude is a robber. He's not going into his house. He is a bad person. He's shifty, right? Well, that's the same way with false leaders, with false pastors, with false elders, is they're deceptive. Their motive isn't for the love of the sheep, but their motive is through deception. It's through the shadows, so to speak. And so the gatekeeper, Jesus is saying also that he's not just a good shepherd, but he is also the door. That he's not just a good shepherd, but he is the gatekeeper that is the one that protects his sheep. And he is the one that also allows those to come in to take care of his sheep, to love his sheep. And you can't go over a fence, for the doorkeeper, the good shepherd, will find you out and he'll kick you out of the pen. And for as an application, we try to get over this fence by trying to earn Jesus' favor, by trying to earn his favor through our performance. Now, we do good things because we are grateful for what God has done. But we don't do good things because we're trying to earn his favor. You might be like, well, I don't do that. Well, here's the thing that you might do that is kind of a symptom of your heart of why you do that. If you've sinned a particular sin, you might sometimes feel like, oh, well, I feel guilty coming to the Lord in prayer. So I might need to give it a couple days, me being a little good, doing really good before I go to the Lord in confession of sin or before I go to the Lord in prayer. That is a form of performance. You see, your heavenly Father doesn't look at you as an ashamed father. Your heavenly Father loves you. If it just as a child, as my son or my daughter, if they got lost in the woods, yes, I'm concerned. I don't want them to go wander off in the woods anymore, but I'm happy they're back. I'm not ashamed and angry at them as they're crying, wandering from the woods towards me. And that's the same way with your heavenly Father. Yes, you have sinned. You have wandered out in the woods. You've been dumb. However, your heavenly Father is calling out. He's worried and concerned for your soul. And he's saying, come back. Come back. And so we can try to get in the sheepfold by trying to be good, trying to earn God's favor. Yet we just need to rest in God's love and his favor. But another way that you can get under the safety of the Good Shepherd is coming through Jesus. That's the only way. But I think another application of what we can see as Jesus being the gatekeeper is this, and that is that any other shepherd, any other pastor, any other elder that wants to come into this fold to take care of Jesus' sheep, they must come through the gate. That they're held accountable by the gatekeeper. What does that mean? The session over this church, I over this church, that we have to go through the gatekeeper, that we have to come to Jesus, and that we submit under his rule and his rule alone. And there's so many scary passages, like our Old Testament reading, Ezekiel 34. Did you read how furious God was with those false shepherds? Jesus is the gatekeeper. He will protect his sheep. And if there's any false pastors, false session members, false elders, Jesus will hold them accountable. And
And you got to understand this. If Jesus is willing to die for his sheep, what makes you think if someone abuses one of his little lambs, what do you think that false pastor, that elder will have to answer in the coming days? We see it from James 3:1, which is another horrifying reminder. It's scary being a pastor or an elder. And so if you ever are called to be an elder someday, know that James 3:1 says that you will be judged doubly. Judged doubly by the Lord in how you shepherd the flock. That's scary. So if anyone calls you to be an elder, you must think twice. You must pray because God will hold you to a higher standard than the rest of the people in this room. I shudder the thought of what Jesus will do to those who abuse his sheep. And that's why we have these stern warnings from Scripture. And I want to tell you this as a form of comfort. I want to tell you this as a form of comfort because I know there are some of you in this room that have wounds from past shepherds. Maybe not in this church, maybe in other churches, but I just know this. I went through 3 church splits before I was 14. The pastors are a blessing. They're a blessing to a community. They're a blessing to a congregation. Yet if they're a false shepherd, a thief and a robber, they can create much havoc. They can create many scars. And so I want to give you this as a comfort that Jesus will vindicate your abuse. You might not get justice on this side of glory, but trust me, friend. If a pastor or an elder, a session, has wrongfully sinned against you, wrongfully abused you, know the gatekeeper will have words with them. And so I pray for you as an application. If those people have wronged you, I pray by the grace of the gospel in your heart to pray for those elders, to pray for those pastors, that they would repent, because when it comes, when glory comes and they stand before the great shepherd, the great gatekeeper, I shudder the fact. And so pray for those people that have abused the sheep. But this is also another comfort that Christ is calling you as the great shepherd to trust and submit under the leadership of the shepherds in your flock, the pastors, the elders, that you would submit under their guidance so you don't wander off in the wilderness and get eaten by the wolves of this world. But there is no guarantee. There is no guarantee that you won't get hurt by a false shepherd. But I will guarantee you that Jesus, your great shepherd, will vindicate you. But I also want you to know, as a member of the PCA church, a member of this church, the denomination of the PCA government, if any of you ever feel that you have been sinned against, if a shepherd in this church, I or a session member, has sinned against you in an ungodly manner, I ask you to write a formal complaint to the session that our polity, written in our BCO, our polity, says that we have to respond to that complaint within 30 days or we'll get in trouble by the presbytery above us. And if we respond to you in a way that you don't believe is an appropriate response, that we are not repentant, if we're not creating reconciliation, you have the opportunity and the right to appeal to presbytery, which if you're not a Presbyterian or trying to understand the polity, that's all the pastors and the elders in the region, upstate New York. They will investigate this complaint and they will try to dish out justice. And if that still isn't the case, you can appeal to the GA, General Assembly, which is all the pastors in this denomination, to investigate this crime or this sin.
And I say this to you not to get boring with the details, but I want to tell you that this session and I, though we are sinners, though we will fail, though we might hurt you, I want you to know that the Good Shepherd has provided ways for you to be vindicated, for you to be shepherded, for you to be loved. And it's my heart's desire and the session's heart's desire that you would always be loved. I shatter the thought of ever hurting one of you, yet I give you these things so that you know that you know that you can be protected, that you are a beloved sheep of God's fold. And why do I say this? Because the session and I, we want to be good shepherds, yet we are broken men. And we must, for us to be good shepherds, we must be held accountable by the chief shepherd. However, I want to remind you yet again, on this side of glory, sometimes you will not see justice. Just like I have seen 3 church splits before I was 14, I have not seen justice on this side of glory. And I do pray for those pastors. But I do know that Jesus, the Good Shepherd, will hear my case. And you will hear yours as well. And so Jesus, in the first progression, he has communicated who he is, that he is a good shepherd. And the Pharisees, they are false shepherds. They are coming through deception over the fence. And Jesus is the true gatekeeper, the true shepherd, and he will keep his people safe. And how do I know that? How do I know that? Because of our second progression of this text through 11 through 18, where the good shepherd's motive for the sheep, his love for the sheep, is so much so that he was willing to give his life. In 2012, there was an interview with a man named Bob Dylan. And in this interview, a reporter makes a statement of saying like, well, of course your fans love you. You're Bob Dylan. And Bob Dylan responds that his fans don't actually love him because they only love of what they think he is and what he means to them. And of course, they think they love me, as he says, but they really just love my music. They love the songs that I play, but not me. And the reporter was shocked by it. He says, well, what do you mean by that? And Bob Dylan says this. He says, because that's the way people are. People say they love a lot of things, but they really don't. It's just words that have been overused. When you put your life on the line for somebody, that's love, but you'll never know it until you're in the moment when someone will die for you. That's love. And this is the foundation of Jesus' relationship with you for his sheep. That's why Jesus knows the sheep and the sheep know him, because Jesus died for the sheep. And you see, shepherding people is difficult. There are many blessings of being a shepherd, being a pastor, being an elder. There are many blessings to it. However, to be a good shepherd, you must do difficult things. You must fight off the wolves. That there are abuse cases that you have to deal with and make sure that your sheep are taken care of. But also, sometimes the difficult part is trying to bring back a wandering sheep. And tell you what, those sheep can make some noises, man, when they wander off. There's a short little video on the internet. You should Google it. But it gives you a perfect example of this, that there is this sheep that was stuck in this ditch, this irrigation ditch. And its legs were hanging up in the air, his back legs. And if the shepherd didn't pull that sheep out of the irrigation ditch, that sheep would die. And so you see this video of this shepherd just tugging and pulling, and he pop, the deer pops up, or the deer, the got hunting on my mind, and the sheep pop, comes out of the irrigation ditch, and then all of a sudden it's free. And then all of a sudden the sheep's all happy. He's like, oh, I'm free, woo! And he goes, boop, 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 bloop, right back into the irrigation ditch, even more stuck than the way before. It'd even take him like 30 seconds to get stuck again. Yet that is the same way with me, with the Good Shepherd. Like, my session holds me accountable. I'm open and honest with them because I will get stuck in a ditch and they need to pull me out. And sometimes I'm an idiot that goes bloop, 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 back into the ditch again. But that's the same way with you. That the session and I, we love you. And there's an expectation, because I know myself, you are going to fall in the ditch. You're going to get in the irrigation ditch. And my prayer is for you, when I come to you and I say, hey, what's up? I haven't seen you around. How are you doing? It's not a shepherd that is angry with you. It's a shepherd that wants to get you out of the irrigation ditch. He wants you to be in green pastures. He wants you to have a good marriage. He wants you to love Jesus. That's what a good shepherd wants. That's what I want. But as a shepherd, you have to have hard conversations. You have to tend to the sheep. You have to clean out the sheepfold. And if any of you are farmers, it's not fun cleaning the barn. It's not. But it's so wonderful to see the little calves jumping in the pastures. It's so wonderful to feed the animals and to see life move on your farm. That's the same way with a shepherd. No, they don't like cleaning the farm. They don't like cleaning the barn. They don't like having the hard conversations. But a good shepherd that never has a hard conversation is a bad shepherd. He's a coward, because he would rather have you stuck in the ditch than have you hate him. And so pray for your session, pray for your pastor, pray for the pastors in this valley, that they would be men that are courageous, that they are men that care more about your souls than necessarily your friendship, that they would be men that love you so dearly, as a shepherd, as Jesus, who loves the sheep. I remember talking to some parishioners when I was assistant pastor. And this is an image that is ingrained in my mind that really helps me to become more and more of a shepherd. But there's these people, I won't tell you their names, but they're a wonderful, wonderful couple. And they were meth addicts. They were meth addicts for many years. And then, just like as anybody with addiction, they would steal things. They would lie. They would be very, very difficult people. Yet, when I was having dinner with them over at my house, they told me their story. And they said, our pastor kept on pursuing us over and over and over again. After we stole money from him, after we lied to him, after we've done so many things, he keeps on pursuing us. Who does that? They asked. And the answer is a good shepherd. That's what a good shepherd does. And I want you to remind you this, and I want to remind myself, I am preaching to you just as much as I'm preaching to myself. I'm preaching that I and every other pastor, every other elder will fail you. But I want you to know in this text, your good shepherd, he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. That he loves you. And why do we know that? Well, look at verses 14. It says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I want you to let that sink in. I want you to let that sink in and think about it for a second. Because what Jesus says, his people will know him, and he will know his people, just as the Father knows the Son, and the Son knows the Father. That's what he's saying. That statement right there is so rich in theology. so rich in theology, that the relationship with the omniscient Father and the omniscient Son is an ultimate example of shared personal knowledge between two parties. No shared history goes further back, contains more shared joy, more shared grief than between the eternal Son and the eternal Father. There is no emotions that can be more sincerely felt or expressed than what the Almighty Father and the Son feel for each other and communicate to each other. This relationship cannot be expressed in any human effort. There's no expression of art. There's no expression of music. There's no expression of poetry that can plumb the depths of this type of intimacy. Yet Jesus here in this text, Christian, Jesus declares this type of relationship may be found in the relationship that Jesus has with you. Christian, I want you to hear this. I want you to hear this because Jesus was willing to die for you. He invites you in with this relationship like no other, intimacy like no other that Jesus shares with God the Father. What an honor, what a blessing, what a treasure, something far greater that you can ever buy on this earth. Something far greater than you'll ever observe on this earth. And trust me, Christian, there are many great things, like the beautiful things of holding your child in your arms when they've just been born. That is so amazing. Yet your relationship with God, your relationship with Jesus is far greater. The first kiss that you have with your spouse when the pastor says, "I pronounce you man and woman, married," is far greater than that moment. It is far more beautiful than seeing the northern lights, the aurora borealis upon the sky as it explodes with color. Your relationship with Jesus is far more beautiful than that. And Jesus is giving you something so amazing. You see, no one can know you better than Jesus because he is a good shepherd. Who knows every time you have hated, every time you have contemplated sin, and he loves you anyway? No one has ever been with you longer than Jesus, who with the Father knitted you together in your mother's womb. No one has been truer to you than Jesus telling you what you don't want to hear, but it is the truth and you need to hear it. No one has shown you far more commitment and good commitment than Jesus. Traveled further to redeem us, suffered more embarrassment, endured greater pain, made better promises, even in every way he has shown himself worthy. Oh, how much Jesus loves you. Oh, how much Jesus loves you, his sheep. Oh, how much he loves you, Christian. And the more. Trust me, we have no suspicions about the motives or the intentions of Jesus. He has earned our trust. He has earned our affection. This world is filled with uncertainty, but we can be certain about this, Christian, that his body and blood bought our lives, saved our lives, and he bears us up on a journey to the land where he is king. This is our shepherd. This is our friend. This is the one who knows us, the one who knows us intimately and laid down his life. Amen. 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 Jesus loves you. And why? Because he's a good shepherd. And because you realize that love, that deep love, that love that Jesus has for you, that truth will make you more and more willing to be obedient to his voice. And that's where John gives us our third progression, a case study of Jesus' teachings. We see this in the last three verses that Jesus is talking about the Pharisees, or John is talking about the Pharisees, and there's much division. Some of the people who saw Jesus heal a blind man, they saw Jesus heal a paralytic, they saw Jesus feed 5,000 people, they saw Jesus turn water into wine, and it wasn't boxed wine, it was the good stuff. Like, he did all these things. Yet they're like, he's a demon, he's insane. How stupid could you get? But they were blind. They were not his sheep. Yet what we see in this part, these last couple verses, is the true sheep. There were Pharisees that were still the true sheep. And they said, how can a demon-possessed man open the eyes of a blind man? You see, when you are the sheep, you know your shepherd. You know your shepherd. You hear his voice. You trust him because he is willing to fight off the wolves and the bears and the lions. And Jesus Christ didn't just willing fight for those things, but he died for those things. And he died not for really good, perfect sheep, but terrible sheep. This is why we have a good shepherd, Christian. This is why you should be obedient, Christian, because he loves you. And so we have this last question that's resting in our minds. And that question is, how do we hide these truths of the preaching of God's word in our hearts this week? And I want you to do three practical things. First thing I want you to do is I want you to reflect on what voice you are listening to. Just as Jesus says that the sheep will know my voice. If you're not spending hours upon hours with Jesus, you won't hear his voice, but you will hear other voices in this world. You will not have discernment to say, is this a good shepherd? Is this a bad shepherd? You can only know who a good shepherd is and a bad shepherd is by listening to the true shepherd, the chief of shepherds, and that is Jesus. So whose voice do you listen to? Do you have discernment? The second thing, and I covet this, your session covets this. Second thing is I want you to pray for your session. Pray for your session that we would be good shepherds. Because trust me, Ezekiel 34, James 3:1 are super scary. Pray for your session. Pray for your pastor. And the third thing I want you to do is schedule at least once a month to love on the sheep. Yes, Jesus loves you and he loves his sheep. And you know the best way to love on Jesus is to love his sheep. It's just like any parent. You could have, which there are not, I'm using an illustration, there are no ugly babies. Okay? But if there was an ugly baby, the worst thing that you could do is ever tell their parent, man, you have an ugly baby, right? The best way to get into good graces with anybody, even if they don't like you, is compliment their child. So if I start complimenting your child, please don't. But there is a point of how do you love Jesus? By loving what he loves. Yes, his sheep are difficult. So are you. So love on his sheep. And call them. How you can start with that practically is in your fellowship groups. Pick someone that you want to get to know a little bit more. Or when you hear them say in a prayer request, text them and say, hey, I'm praying for you. That's a way to love on your sheep. Give them encouragement. Another way to love on your sheep is inviting them over for dinner. The best way to love on your sheep. So, recap. Pray for your pastor. What voice are you listening to? And love on your sheep. People of DRPC, know that you are loved. You are loved and held by a love that is unfathomable. a love that transcends the depths as high as to the galaxy down to the deepest parts of the ocean, a love that is immeasurable. And you are in his tender hands, the good shepherd of the sheep. May God bless the meditation of his word. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are the good shepherd, that you have seen us stray, that you have seen us wander away. Yet, Lord, you are the one that died for us. Help us to rest in you. Help us to love you. Help us to live for you. Help us, Lord, for we need your grace moment by moment. We cling to the old rugged cross. Someday we will exchange it for a crown. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.